God's not picking on you. He's picked you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Theme of our service today seems to be kind of all tied together through the songs. Didn't even realize it so much when I picked some of the songs. I love this quote and picture. God's not picking on you. God has picked you. That's why you can't do what everybody else does. That's why you can't participate in all the ideology of the world. That's why you can't buy in to what all the world's trying to sell us. Because you've been chosen. In a world where we feel like a number, in a world where we feel like we don't amount to anything after the tragic death of this young man in Rochester a couple of weeks ago, God inspired Brian to write this song that's ministered to a number of youth already. You're priceless. You're not a number. You're not a number to God. My grandchildren, I want a relationship with each one of them. We're made in the image of God. This is about relationship. Church organizations, unfortunately, many well-meaning have distorted what the truth is. There were no steeples in the Garden of Eden. Adam walked with God. Is church valuable? Absolutely, especially in these days. Try not to miss. Fail not to assemble yourselves together, all the more as you see the day approaching. Try not to miss. That's not because we're counting noses. You don't see any board anywhere, do you, that says a number? We've never done that. But you need to be here with other Christians. You're not a number. You're not a statistic. No matter how many grandchildren I have, there's always room for another one. And they're unique and they're special. And I feel badly if I don't have a relationship with them. God made Adam and put within him a desire for relationship. God's not picking on you. God has picked you. That's why you can't do what everybody else does or get away with what others get away with. You are chosen. I sensed very early on in my walk with the Lord that the Lord was very strict with me. I remember a week after I opened my heart to the Lord through a crisis that we went through. And I remember going up to the bathroom upstairs at Kroger's where I worked. It was way up some long steps in the old store where I worked years and years ago, 30-some years ago. We were in Broadway Plaza. And I remember when going there in the bathroom and having something available there to me, a habit that I'd had within reach. And for a second, the thought crossed my mind, Vince, oh, I've just been at this a week. Man, that would taste good right now. I don't think it's really going to hurt anything. God knows I'm working through a lot of things. And I knew right when I had that thought that I'd been picked. Because when I reached for something that I always reached for, something inside said, son, let that go. I'm not picking on you. I've picked you. I'm not picking on you. I've picked you. I've selected you. And God's calling out a remnant in these last days. We live in the days of the return of Jesus Christ. We're nearing the 7-year tribulation period. And God's not picking on you. Some of you, and I'm not going to run off on this, but I want to say it and may refer to it a little later. Some of you are going through bitter trials. Bitter trials. Bitter trials. Despair. God's not picking on you. He's picked you. God said to Lucifer, Satan himself, have you seen my servant Job? Some of us have gone through horrendous things in our family. Won't ask for a show of hands, but there'd be a lot. Who better prepared to minister during the dark tribulation hour than somebody that's just been down to the very bottom in despair? You're not being picked on. God has picked you. I don't think the bad things that happen and the sinful things that happen in our families and with our children are God's will. But God has the unique ability to call us out and pull us to himself. And don't let those things embitter you. And I don't believe you are. But you know, there's that opportunity to do that. When life deals out ugly things, we have a choice. We can either say, Lord, this hurts so bad. Oh, this hurts. But I accept it. And I grab your grace. And I'm holding on. I'm holding on. And if we do that, once the storm is ridden out and the waves are gone, there'll be a sweetness and a closeness to God and an endurance and a patience put within us that can only be birthed that way. I've been through some despair in my life. I've been through some things in my life that death would have been much easier. Been through some heavy things in my life. But I found that as I chose, and it's a choice, as I chose to say, God, I receive this. I hang on to you. I'm holding on to you. That God would form and make me and deepen me in a way that I can't describe. And if I can say it in a way that's proper and appropriate, some of us, some of you that have been to hell and back, literally, with heartaches, family issues, pains and struggles to the very valley of the shadow of death, nights of despair, who better equipped to be a lighthouse in the dark times that are coming in our world? Because I believe that we're going to go through part of the tribulation before the rapture. And I believe that there's a lot of things that have happened that God is preparing us. God's not picking on you. He's picked you. He's chosen you. Let's talk about choices for a minute. I'm not going to talk long today, but I'm intense today. Let's talk about choices. I want to choose my best lamb. Don't give God second-rate stuff. Why is this so key? In the Old Testament, under the law, and we learn the attitudes of God in the Old Testament and the nature of God. They were to scan their flock, and they were not to take a crippled lamb. It would make sense that this lamb's going to, he's crippled, he's going to get trampled. Why should I take a perfect lamb to sacrifice? And this is before Christ, but symbolic of Christ. You were to find a lamb or a bullock without spot or blemish. Bring your very best. The first murder in the Bible was a result of Cain and Abel. Abel brought his best. Cain brought a second-rate sacrifice. Choices. Choose your best lamb. Why is this key? Because our choice affects God's choice. When I step up, it isn't about who your name is or what you've achieved. This business of being chosen, you've been picked. How does that happen anyway? God's choice is a response to my choice. And when I say, you know what? Somebody else can give the crippled lamb, and somebody else can give the scarred one and the injured one and the wounded one, but I'm giving my best because I want the pearl at great price. When you step up and say that, God immediately says, I choose you. Many are called, but few are chosen. What does that mean? It has to do with our choice. Our choice causes him to make a choice. I don't care who you are or in what condition you're in. If you say, I am going to hold on to him. I haven't got much, but I'm going to hold on to him and I am going to put him first. I'm telling you right now, God will sound off and say, I choose you. Many are called and few chosen. Oh, he calls all of us to give our best. He calls all of us to put him first. He calls all of us to love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. He calls all of us, but few respond. When I return, will I find any faithful, it says. I want to be the one that steps up and says, you can count on me giving the best. You can count on me. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to give my all. Matthew chapter 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I want the pearl of great price. There's a lot of things in life I like. I'm an emotional guy. I've enjoyed life. I've kind of been out on the edge guy. I've enjoyed that. I enjoy adventure. I love to take off on the motorcycle. My wife and I have had the incredible opportunity since the near-death experience to take some incredible trips. God promised me he was going to bless me in some ways that I didn't expect. I've had some things I don't feel like I deserve, but it's been awesome. And if anything ever happened to Pam, I would say those would be some of the best times of our lives. Drive, ride 5,600 miles out through the Dakotas and stay at Rapid City and visit all the sites in that area and then go out, ride Needles Highway and see beautiful Snake River Canyon, go up into Wyoming. I love Wyoming and the openness of Wyoming, and up into Montana, and then we went southwest down to Yellowstone, and we stopped idling in the middle of Yellowstone, and buffalo were crossing right in front of the motorcycle, and we quit counting at 250. Quit counting as fast as I could. Quit counting at 250, only to find later that they charge Harleys. Because Harleys irritate their ears. Lord had to be with us. I quit counting at 250. And they went across in front of us. And then we left there, and we had the privilege then of the Holy Spirit to speak to us and said, go see Rick Darlin, Vince's brother, who was in the cancer center in Tulsa. And we rode to Tulsa, Oklahoma by ourselves. We've seen some beautiful places. There's nothing in the world like Rocky Mountain National Park on a motorcycle, in my opinion. I remember coming around the curve and seeing the beautiful mountain and a thunderhead up above and some elk on the hillside. And the verse came to me, the heavens declare the glory of God. I thought, man, Lord, you're shouting it. Why can't people see it? Got to be connected. Some of you understand that. Got to be connected. He's everywhere. You just got to be connected. And some of you understand that. Some of the rest of you want to be connected. Do it. It's found. Oh, is that because, well, Pastor Robbins, he has special experience because he's a pastor. No. Pastor Robbins has a special experience because his dad was Jack Robbins. I'm sorry. Those are the wrong reasons. When you sell out and get rid of the pearls, some of you want the benefits of the pearl great price, but you don't want to sell the other pearls. Don't fire me. Some of you, you want the benefits of the pearl great price, but you don't want to sell the other pearls. And I've had some beautiful experiences, but I'm going to tell you something. The luster of those things are nothing compared to continual connection with the Lord. And as the years go by, no wonder the songwriter wrote, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Oh, we got to go last week to Tennessee. God gave me the verse in Haggai, from now on I will bless you. Don't deserve that, but he gave it to me. And I've just seen it. It's been incredible. We go down there and Miriam and Jess rent us this beautiful suite. You talk about a suite, suite. This was no fancy hotel room. I mean, this thing had washer and dryer. I'm laughing when Miriam's showing to me. I'm just cackling. I'm laughing. I'm saying, you got to be kidding me. She said, this is your side. They had their side and we had our side, a beautiful place, luxurious place to stay in the mountains. And you go out on the balcony and there's the mountains before you. And then what a shame it happened to be the week when they had one of the biggest car shows in the United States of all the old muscle cars. What a shame. And I didn't know it. And Jess didn't know it. And we start seeing signs and all these cars pulling in. There's hundreds of muscle cars. You know how well I like 66 and 67 Chevelles. I've had several of them. There was 9 67 Chevelles there. And I had so much fun looking at those cars and talking to those old geezers my age and owned those things. And talked about the one guy, he kept saying, take that thing for a drive. And I thought, no, that'd be a mistake. And then I asked him what he was asking for. And of course, I knew I wouldn't buy it, but I was curious. He said 40,000. I said, oh, well, really? And that's nuts. That's crazy is what that is. Why am I throwing that in? I found myself, I'd been reading and studying, spending time with God, and I had just read this passage. And I thought, Lord, I've had fun. I've had a lot of fun in my life. I've been on the edge, and I love to squeal tires and rip through the gears and have a lot of horsepower at my feet. That's a lot of fun. It would have been great. I'd love to take that car around the block a time or two, but you know what? That's rusty. That's rusty, worthless stuff compared to the pearl of great price. That's rusty, worthless stuff. And I even had fun. I even laughed to myself as I walked. I started to cry one time. I was looking at this one car. That's a beautiful car. But I thought, isn't that something, how that affects me now and how it used to affect me? Because I sold the pearls, boys. I've sold the pearls. Now, is there anything wrong with, you know, somebody, you know, I got a hobby. I like my motorcycle. There's nothing wrong. The Bible says God's given us things richly to enjoy, and there are things you need for relaxation. I understand. You got to figure that out. So don't read anything. And I'm not saying, I'm just saying, a lot of people want the benefits and they love, they have a twinkle in their eye when you talk about the closeness of the Lord and the revelation that God can give you and the comfort he can give you and how he'll be right with you in the valley of the shadow of death. And they got a twinkle in their eye, and I know they want that, but they got trouble because they won't sell the pearls. They won't sell the pearls. And I'm going to tell you something. You won't be chosen. It's not about your name, not about your fame, not about your talents. It's none of that stuff. It's the guy that steps up and says, I'm going to sell this other stuff and I'm buying that one pearl. And God says, I choose you. I choose you. Selling out. He is buying the guys that are selling out, the gals that are selling out. And in this day, God is calling out a remnant. And we can get all theological about that. We can do hundreds of outlines about what is the remnant. And we can write books about it, but it's really pretty simple. The remnant is those who step up and say, I'm selling the rest of the pearls because I want the pearl of great price. And you'll wrestle that out. I don't know what your pearls are. I don't know. There might be things that don't mean that. I have some things that I like, but I found that out when the house burned. I had stuff I thought I really liked, and I forgot about it, and it burned up. And then I'd find people, oh, that's right, I used to have this gun. Oh, there's part of it. Well, there's my cam off of my bow in the closet among that. Oh, I forgot I still had that one. Lost their luster. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Anybody remember that song? Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will become strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That author knew I was talking about. That author knew what I was talking about. He knew what the pearl of great price was, didn't he? He knew it. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. God's not picking on you. He's picked you. That's why you just can't do everything. That's why is it that I don't feel at home? When I first became a Christian, I shared about the example of going upstairs there and an old habit tempting me. And God spoke to me and said, no, I've chosen you. And I remember that was a valuable time I made that decision. And I don't know what your gods are and what you're tied to. And you got to work through that. That's between you and God. My role is to call you to sonship. My role is to call you to sell the pearls and buy the pearl at great price. I don't dictate to people all their details, and I won't get walked into those conversations. I have people corner me, Pastor, what do you think? Should I do this? Should I do that? You got to wrestle that out. But I know this. Don't you violate what he tells you. And sometimes he'll be strict with you, and he's not picking on you. He picked you. That's great. He picked you. He's not picking on you. I had some things I couldn't do. I remember going to a party, hunting a friend, and I was doing it innocently, and I stopped in. I remember I was with Jess's brother Marvin Stout, and I. And we went into a party together. We always ran around together, always Christians. And I had just become a Christian. I went to this party looking for a friend. And I got here, and man, the music was thumping and everything. And I remember something inside said, son, get out of here. Son, get out of here. And I thought, I don't feel right here. But yet at the same time, I felt a tremendous pull. I don't know what your pull is, but I know that life was my God. That was my God. And so that pearl had to go. I don't know what yours has been. You got to wrestle that out. But I know there was a pull there, and something inside said, you need to get out of here. And I remember I looked at Marvin. I said, I'm leaving. He said, you're leaving? We haven't found him yet. And I said, I'm leaving. And he could tell I was real stern. He got in the car. He said, what's the matter? I said, I can't be in there. I can't be there anymore. God ain't picking on you. He's picked you. Don't violate it. Walk in the new conscience that he's given you. And there'll be friends say, oh, don't you think you're a little bit ridiculous? Don't you think you're carrying this a little bit too far? Don't you think, you just listen to what, in your intimate time, what he says to your heart. Because he's not picking on you, he's picked you, and he's preparing you for what he wants you to do. And why did I need my line so close? Well, I'm a very emotional guy, and so I can get sucked back in real easy. So I needed to draw my lines close. God knows those things. Trust the Holy Spirit with that. He also knew that he was going to make me into a minister. And you who lead will be judged more strictly, it says in James. You guys in the mentoring group that are interested in being leaders and being ministers, God ain't picking on you. I ain't picking on you. We've picked you. Step up. Sell the pearls. The guy went in. He saw a pearl of great price. When he found the one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The other example is he sold the other pearls. I love those two in Matthew 13. John 15, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. This is great. Stay with me. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask my Father in my name, he may give it. I'm going to read that one more, and then I'm going to go to the next page on this. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Some of you today, I feel so personal about this. He has chosen you. It's not about, can I do this good enough to get in the gate? When you made the decision, I want the pearl, and maybe it was in the middle of a song, you made the decision, I want the pearl, a great price. I can tell when people cross over. There's a difference in them when they cross over. When they sell the pearls, and some people have been in church all their life and have never sold their pearls. And that's why they wrestle all the time. And that's why they're agitated all the time. And that's why they have trouble and they can't find peace, because you can't serve two masters. Ever heard that before? Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. And we have churches full of people that have never sold their pearls. And so they're envious of other people, where they see when you sell out and you buy the field and then you take the pearl of great price to yourself, and that pearl of great price is the Holy Spirit, God with you, the intimacy with God, but you've got to sell your pearls. And some of you haven't. Some of you haven't. But when you make that choice, then he makes his choice. I've chosen you, and this is the big thing. Brian, this is good. And ordained you. Oh, don't miss that. Ordained. Okay, let's talk about the word ordained for a minute. We say he's an ordained minister. Well, we have an ordination service, and you know, everybody lays hands on you to pray for you. I'm not belittling that, but I like what my daddy always said. My daddy always said, I believe God ordained you, not an organization. Now, I've been through ordination with a reputable organization, and I think it was a good experience. I don't regret it. It gives you clout, and you can talk to the judge and get in places if you're an ordained minister, and I am an ordained minister. But actually, the root of the word ordained is when God places you and places his hand on you And the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In the old days, they anointed the prophets with oil. And then the prophet would go and anoint a king. King David was anointed with oil. And the ordination, he said, get this, young guys, listen up. Young gals, listen up. On the last days, I pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. God wants to do a move in the young people. And I believe in the young people here at CMO. And I believe many of you want the pearl of great price. I have chosen you and ordained you. So when I make the decision to sell the pearls, God says, okay, I pick him. I pick her. I pick him. Then he says, I'm going to ordain you. He'll begin imparting his Holy Spirit to you in the portions and ways in which you can handle it. And you can adjust to that. He knows you. Trust him with that. Don't put him in a box. Don't make everybody's experience have to be just exactly like yours. My walk has been very unique, but I'm telling you, it's been powerful. It has been powerful. And many of you have very unique walk. God will walk you into, he will ordain you. And his hand will be on you, and you'll become effective like you never have before, and you will bring forth fruit. Stay with me. Not going to talk long, but it's important. You'll bring forth fruit, and your fruit will remain, and whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it. All right. Let me break that down for you. Oh, goody, this thing's working. He has chosen you. God is calling you. And what does he say? I'll ordain you. He says, there's three things I have singled out here. I'll talk about these briefly, and then we'll close. He says, I want you to bring forth fruit. I want you to bring forth fruit. I'm calling you to faithfulness. Where do you get that, Pastor? It says your fruit should remain. Your fruit should remain. So he's calling you to bring forth fruit. I have up here to produce and reproduce through spiritual intimacy with him. So he's calling us to bring forth fruit. He's calling us to faithfulness. And he's calling us to power and prayer. You say, Pastor, now where do you see that in there? Oh, it's in there. You don't see it. Why does he end this passage that I just had up there by saying, whatsoever you ask in my name, he'll give it? Where does power in prayer come from? Boy, so-and-so, they're just a powerful prayer. Seems like when you ask them to pray, things happen. Call so-and-so. When you ask them, my goodness, do things happen. Does that mean they're special? No. No. They've sold the pearls. They've become intimate with the Lord. And it gives you power in prayer. So let me go over these because there's some helpful things in here. He's chosen you to bring forth fruit. What will happen as he's ordained you? Well, you'll begin producing something. Interesting that we say produce, but when you go to the grocery store, it's produce. The produce department. That's where all the fruit, all the vegetables are. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Intimacy with God begins producing these qualities in our life. If you don't settle the pearl of great price issue and you have one foot in and one foot out and you try to serve two masters, you spend your life in a bad mood. We receive that. We have so many Christians in a bad mood, it's because they want the pearl at a great price, but they won't sell the pearls, and they won't buy the field, and they won't sell out. It's the ordination comes, and the production of fruit comes when we sell out. Stop and think about the people you know who you say have the most fruits of the Spirit evidence in their life. It's people that have sold out. They've sold out. You know, I've never been tremendously moved. Please don't be offended by this. I've never been tremendously moved by noisemakers. Now, please don't be offended by that. There's a time to make noise. There's an absolute time to make noise. When we sing Chainbreaker, you need to make noise. You need to make all kinds of noise. God's broken a lot of chains in this congregation. Daddy used to say, I don't care how high you jump, but I'd like to see how straight you walk when you come down. That's what my dad always said. He said, I don't care how high you can jump. I like to see how straight you walk when you come down. I want to be faithful. Your fruit should remain. Let's talk about bringing forth fruit a little longer. You produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance through spiritual intimacy, time with God. You've sold the other pearls. You've bought the pearl at a great price. Then you become reproductive of other souls as well. I found in my own walk with the Lord, as I sold the pearls and bought the pearl at a great price, it wasn't long until I found at Kroger's I was beginning to have influence that I didn't realize. It wasn't long until there were those around me who I was beginning to influence and our personalities come into play and God uses us all in our own way, but we become reproductive. In Ephesians chapter 5, we'll not turn to it, but in Ephesians chapter 5, it compares, get this is important, it compares Christ and the church to the husband and wife relationship. He says, I speak of a great mystery. But I speak of Christ and his church. Through love and intimacy, a man and woman who love each other. Through love and intimacy comes conception. Then the carrying of a burden for 9 months. And then the painful birth of a child. And then the excitement of a bouncing baby boy or girl. He said, I speak of a great mystery, but I compare that to Christ and his church. When we spend spiritual, intimate time with God, conception occurs and we reproduce. And God will begin using us in ways we never saw before. We'll begin reproducing. We'll begin carrying a burden. We'll come in to mentors group like I've seen some of you guys and, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I got something on my heart. I got something weighing on my heart. I got something, I'm carrying, I got to talk to you about it. I feel like there's something God wants me to do. There's a direction God wants me to go. There's something he's speaking to me about. Something was born in me. That happens in intimacy with God. And that's so very valuable. He's not picking on you. He's picked you. He's chosen you. And he wants you to bring forth fruit. He wants you to spend time with him and see those fruits of the Spirit develop, those Christian qualities within you that make you a better husband and father and neighbor and friend. As I pray and go on my prayer walks, I often say, Lord, ordain me, birth within me that fruit that I'll be a great neighbor. I want to be a great neighbor. I want Bill Shepler and Glenn Hall, my two neighbors on each side, to say, Tom Robbins is a Christian. I don't think either one of them say Tom Robbins is perfect. No, he forgot to give my boat back and kept it an extra day. But Tom Robbins is a Christian. I never will forget when Glenn came down the road and his wife, Donna, who's now gone to be with the Lord and got very close to the Lord before her death. They had just found out she had cancer. And it so happened that they were coming back from the doctor's office and I was finishing my prayer walk. And I heard a truck come up behind me. And, of course, traffic often passes me on walks, so I always kind of step over in the grass and wave when people go by. And I could hear that this one was stopping. And so I turned, it was Glenn and Donna, and he hit the power window and went down. He looked in, he said, we just received some really bad news about Donna. And he said, isn't it something, we're on our way home. And I said, Donna, look, there's Tom and he's praying. Will you pray for us? I love to participate in reproduction. And we saw as she neared death's door how she became so open to God and had some opportunities. And a number of others ministered and participated. It wasn't me. There was a number of others participating. God will use us in ways and he'll place us places just at the right time. And he'll move us in ways you've seen it happen. When you taste it, the other pearls become cheap. And you realize, that's what I want. That's what I want. God's calling us and ordaining us to bring forth fruit. And he's calling us to faithfulness. Be faithful. Seek faithfulness. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to do some things wrong. You're going to mess up and have to back up. It's going to happen. Hello, this is real life. But make faithfulness the bar that you're reaching for. I had a guy say to me a while back, and kind of chewed on it for a while, but I'm okay with it. He said, Pastor, you set the bar pretty high. But he said, I've been watching you, and he said, you set it pretty high for yourself too, so I'm okay with it. Well, I hope I never set it too high, but I want the pearl great prize. I'm telling you, I do. I want the pearl great prize. I'm not interested in all this other stuff. I've been to death and back. I've been to death and back, and I've been through some things that I believe worse than death in my life. Death is the last enemy to be destroyed. It can be a glorious thing in Christ. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me and he is with you. But the other things that have grown dim, the pearl of great price is what I want more than anything else. And I believe there's many of you that share that. Answer the call to faithfulness. Answer the call to faithfulness. Now, I'm going to close in a second. The reason faithfulness is so critical. Well, first of all, it's critical. Who wants a husband that isn't faithful? Who wants a wife that isn't faithful? So let's not trip over the obvious, but that's not what I want to dwell on. It's through faithfulness that we develop power in prayer. Well, Pastor, I thought anybody could say a prayer anytime. God, just hear it right now and do it. It's through faithfulness that we achieve power. You pray in any situation, yes. But it's through faithfulness that you gain power in prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you develop a pattern of faithfulness, you will begin to notice a difference in your prayer life. You'll begin to notice answers stronger and more than before. Other people will notice it and begin asking you to pray for them because they begin to see that your prayers are effective. And many professing Christians never cross over into faithfulness. And they struggle with, I don't seem to have the power in prayer that others have. It's tied to faithfulness. James chapter 1, in reference to asking for wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally. Let him ask in faith. Look that up. Not on the defensive at all here about truth. Look that up and see what the Greek word is for faith. It says faith or faithfulness. And actually, the more accurate translation for James 1:5 is, let him ask in a state of faithfulness. Do you remember the verse? And I can't tell you the passage right now, but this is what it says. It talks about husbands loving your wives. And it says not to be bitter against them, lest your prayers be hindered. When I'm unfaithful, that can hinder my prayers. Faithfulness, cold, hard truth. Want to love you enough, tell you the truth. It says that on the front of our bulletin if you haven't seen it. It says we love you enough, tell you the truth. God's calling us to faithfulness. And it's through faithfulness that you'll have incredible power in prayer. You'll notice a difference in your prayer life when you seek to be faithful. Does God still love us when we go astray? Absolutely. Is he anxious to forgive? Yes, it says that in Psalms. Is he the merciful God that will forgive over and over? Yes, absolutely. But there's a power in prayer that comes with faithfulness, and you're going to sell yourself short if you're unfaithful. Set that bar high. God, bring me to a place where I'm very faithful to you. He's calling you to bring forth fruit. He's calling you to faithfulness. And he's calling you to power in prayer. God's not picking on you. Boy, it just seems like my conscience, this is how I felt when I first became a Christian. I didn't know that God was, what all God was going to make in my life and do with me. It seemed that God was so strict with me. It seemed that he even scolded me from time to time. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, it says. Don't despise it when he gets after you with a switch. Don't despise it when he chastises you. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And I even asked the Lord, I got something right now I'm wrestling with in my mind on a decision. And I keep saying, Lord, correct me if I'm not looking at this right. I believe I am. I believe I am. I've studied it and thought it and thought and prayed, and I believe I am. In regard to our direction and here, and this is where God has planted us till we go to be with the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. And there's lots of things, and we can go lots of directions, and there's lots of voices and things we could do and could do. Lord, I want to hear your voice. Correct me. Correct me. And I go so far as to say this, and I say it often, so I know it well. I say, Lord, I would like you to gently correct me. But if you have to slap me around, I don't want to lose the pearl of great price. I want to stay on track. If you got to slap me around, that's okay. If that's what it takes and I won't listen, get me to listen. That's why I'm not always so anxious. Please don't misunderstand this. But sometimes when I have an affliction, I'm just not so anxious to get over it right this second. Please don't misunderstand that. I was healed of cancer. I believe in healing as much as anybody breathing and living. But I'm not one to holler, Lord, bail me out immediately on everything, because I think sometimes God is putting us on our back for a few hours because he wants us to think about something. Anybody been there? When I get a migraine headache, I always say, Lord, be great to be rid of this headache. Is there something I'm not seeing that you want me to be still for a few hours? I always say that. I always say that. God's not picking on you. He's picked you. He's picked you. Step up. Go ahead. Let him spank you once in a while. That ain't the end of the world. If you love your kid, you got to paddle him once in a while. Yeah. If you don't care about him, you just let him do anything you want. If you love him, you correct him. The scripture says that. As a son, he loves us. God's not picking on you. He's picked you. He might be strict with you, but he wants to ordain you so you'll bring forth fruit. He's calling you to faithfulness. All right, that's enough. I stand for prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for the music today and the various ways that you ministered to us. I pray anything I've said in the flesh would be melted and forgotten in 30 seconds. I pray those things that were anointed by your Spirit, and I believe most of it was, those things that are anointed of you, I would ask that they would take root in the heart of each one here. Be with us as we go from this place. May your blessing be on the various ministries today. I'd ask your Holy Spirit to hover close over the youth meeting tonight. And may we somehow give worth and offer your love in a very special way. I ask your blessing to be on the workers. I ask your blessing to be on the 12-step. I ask your Holy Spirit would hover over that group and develop that and lead us in the way we should go, the biker ministry. I ask that your Holy Spirit would guide and show us the directions we're to go, Women Seeking God group, the mentoring group. Lord, the soon opening of the rescue resort, we ask for your Holy Spirit to guide every single step. Don't let us be a click off. We're going to be dead center what you want us to do. Don't let us make any decisions that will hinder the will of God for our life. Lord, I think there's things that's not a sin necessarily, but there's innocent things that we can even choose and financial decisions we can make, etc., that hinder the will of God for our life and hinder us from obtaining the pearl. I think there's a lot of guys that They'd have got the pearl of great price if there'd have been better decisions made that didn't drain their energies and their time and their resources. Help us to have the wisdom to sort that out in perilous times. Be with us as we go from this place. Thank you for your love and grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.